Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. You could save a ton of money if you switch to Geico like Carver High did. Here's what he did. He went to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, he saved 15% on his auto insurance. And then he was able to completely manipulate the situation and go right back to the cooler and grab another freshie and start drinking and watching the Bills. Saved all kinds of time and money and started drinking again. When Carver High is here, Mafia, as you know, he's a raging alcoholic, and we bet on every game.
I've heard the stories. Unfortunately, we have not been in Vegas at the same time because we alternate, but I've heard both on air and off these stories of what he does.
He won't admit it, but because he'll act like it never happened. I saw him drink 11 beers one night in 1 hour. Because, like, I don't drink anymore. I used to drink 300 beers a day and a bottle of Jameson and – like a couple shots of tequila and maybe a little rum action. And one night I'm doing a show with Carver High in L.A., and my boy showed up with a 12er, right? And that was in the last hour of the show. So he showed up at 10. The show went till 11 L.A. time. We're at the Intercontinental. My boy walks in with a 12 of Bud Light. When we left the show, he walked back to the room with one can. So in 1 hour, 11 beers. That's impressive. It's very impressive. Look who's here. Gio, Greg Giannotti, rock star status from WFA. Boomer and Gio in the mornings. My man Gio, how you doing, brother? It's good to see you in Vegas.
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, Mike Carver, he just looks like a drinker. You know, when he walks around the newsroom, he just looks like he's been drinking or he's about to go drink. It's great to be here, man. It's an honor to be on your show and to be here at the same time as you because you own this place, man.
Do you have you ever been to a title fight before?
Yeah, I have not. I've been to Mayweather-McGregor, which was really sort of like
the worst fight ever.
So there was that. I've seen Deontay a couple of times.
What a scene that was, though, for that fight. It was the worst fight I've ever seen because Carver High and I went, and he got his ass beat,
right.
This Irish guy with his cheap whiskey.
Sure.
He got his ass beat, but he sold it like no other. Like, he was going to beat Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather Pharrelled with him for the entire fight. He would have killed him. If they would have let it keep going, he would have killed him.
Sure.
But that was the worst fight I've ever seen. And the second worst fight I ever saw was Mayweather-Pacquiao. What
See,
a fraud
I thought
that
was. One was worse because I had higher expectations for that. You know, with Mayweather-McGregor, it was a spectacle. I knew it was a spectacle. I knew half it was a joke. I was kind of just there for the scene. But Mayweather-Pacquiao was something we've been waiting for the longest time, and then you find out the injury afterwards. I did see, you know, Wilder Brazil recently.
Where
at
was
Barclays.
That? At the Barclays.
Barclays. I was there for that. So as if you want to call that a real title fight.
I only go there when I'm when I need crack. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't.
I thought there was a Prudential Center.
I've been to the Barclays Center a lot for fights, yeah. Right? Like, I've seen a lot of fights there, but I don't like going there because it's a pain in my ass.
Right.
So I go down to CBS.
Where do you live?
So I live in. I don't like to say where I live.
Okay.
I live in Jersey.
Okay.
Okay. I live in North Jersey. Fair right. enough.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you off the air where I live. I live with all the rich people and deer, bear,
sure.
turkeys. Coyotes.
Acreage.
I live out, and people with horses in their front yard.
Right, yeah.
You know, like your the guy, Fat Sessa, he lives with, doesn't he own a bunch of horses?
Oh, sure,
so
yeah, of course
I live,
he does,
like,
yeah.
with people like him, with horses running around right. in their front yard, like the rich people. Rome's got that, too,
yeah.
the horses.
Yeah.
I don't have any of that. I got, like, a beautiful home, and all my neighbors hate me. My dog's name is Boston, and I got a gambling problem, and I let my dog... cable on people's yards.
And you just don't want to leave your horse
right, so
farm
going,
to get to Brooklyn.
Going to Brooklyn. So for me, I drive down to CBS.
Yeah.
Because that's what I call it.
Right.
I don't call it the other name. The sinful name. I don't call it that.
Okay.
So whatever they think of themselves, that's fine. I don't refer to them as anything other than sludge.
All right. So CBS Sports
I park
Radio.
In front of
yeah.
CBS.
Gotcha.
And then I take these two like shank trains over to Brooklyn. You know
yeah.
where you got to change trains
right.
and you have like a 40% chance of being shanked. And then I bring my kids. I brought my son to the fights.
Yeah.
And like when I leave that arena, I just don't like changing trains twice and going down to Varick and then getting in my car and then driving back to New York. The whole thing's a pain in my ass.
No, it is. Yeah.
Driving to Brooklyn is like, that's like driving to Europe for me.
Yeah. No, for me, I always have to stay in the city because, I mean, I'm 64 miles east on Long Island. So what I do,
you're
I go
a Long
in.
Long Island boy.
Yeah, I'm way out there, South Shore, Long Island, way out east. Right. So what I do is I'll end up staying in the city because it's just too much. It's just everything is a battle. Anywhere in the tri-state area is a battle.
So you drive in every morning?
Every morning, yeah.
You drive to the fan?
Drive to the fan.
And where do you park?
Outside in the front. You know,
because there's spots open.
Right, spots open.
And then what do you
hour.
Do? Pay the tab every
yeah,
day?
Yeah, but it starts at 9 o'clock, so I get all those hours up until 9.
So 10 you leave?
Nah, I mean, I'm there usually about 11.
Do they make you sit around and have meetings? One day, here, I'll tell you a funny story. One day, this guy spits. Can you imagine this guy? He says to me one day, I remember I filled in.
Eric Spitz,
Do you remember when I filled in with Jonesy one day?
Sure, yeah.
So one day in my entire life, they're like, hey, Chernoff says to me, come in and work with.
Can you come in and work with
Stop
Brian.
With all the rock and roll and the hockey.
You're loud. You're scaring the kids.
Come in with Jones and just do it once. There's not going to be anything beyond that.
Yeah, and Brian was all about it. Man, it's kind of cool, man.
Right. So Jonesy and I are good buddies.
Yeah.
And I party with him in the Dominican and everything else.
Right.
So I go in to do the show with him. And I do the show, and it was the funniest show they've ever done. Because all I did was just humiliate everyone.
Sure.
I just abused everyone in the building.
I remember hearing stories about this.
I talked about strippers at 7 in the morning. I talked about doing blow. I talked about gambling. I talked about cheating on your wife. I talked about beating people's faces in and stealing Porsches in Chicago. when I was young. And then I get up to your journal, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then Spitz says to me, we got to have a meeting.
Oh,
so they have the after show meeting morning drive, like some kind of
I did have three years, man. I got like, sucked back
there. Do you remember like some kind of femmy meeting he has every day?
Yeah, yeah.
So I go into this meeting and I sit there and the guys, because I thought they were just going to sit me in there and like tell me I did a great job, have a nice day.
Right.
So we sit down and the guy starts breaking down the show, like literally breaking down the show in the first minute. He's talking to me. He goes, now the first hour, I went like this. I swear to God, that's what I said to him. I go, listen, dude. Stop. I'm leaving. I don't listen to you tell me anything about some show that I just filled in for one time, and I'm never going to do it again as long as I live. So I don't care what you think of what I just did. You can't talk about strippers at 7 in the morning. I go, I just did. And I go, guess what? I'm leaving now. Bye.
You get the text messages during like the middle of the show.
Listen, I love
that's when you know you're really important. Is you get the text message like, get off of this, get away from this, stop this.
Does he do that to you?
Very
just
rarely.
Just admit it.
Very
he doesn't
rarely.
Even work there anymore.
What
so the guy says to me, he said, you can't do this. You can't do this. I said, listen, bro, I love you. I gotta go. I'm not gonna listen to you. So I got better things to do. He goes, what do you have better to do? I go, I gotta go down and tell Chernoff he owes me $10,000. So I go down to Chernoff's office and I go,
what, from like the 90s? No, listen,
I go, you owe me $10,000 for ratings bonuses.
Oh,
and he goes, no, I don't. I go, yeah, you do. He goes, no, I don't. I go, yeah, you do. He goes, get out. I don't eat. Just get out.
Yeah.
So I walked out. An hour later, he called me. He goes, all right, you're right.
Oh,
my
wow.
agent, they owed me because I dude, you don't think I follow the money?
No, I'm just surprised that he caved.
I don't make any money. Do you think I follow the money when I got a little coming my way?
Yeah, but he's not a guy who caves that quickly. That's why I was surprised.
His middle name is No. Okay,
he said well, no compared to some of the other people that are over there now. I mean, this guy is like the Yankees.
Do you know how long I've worked for this guy?
Right,
30 years.
Yeah, sure, I know.
So I literally
it's been a contentious 30 the whole way. Right?
He used to scream and yell at me every day of my life for 5 years when I was on the fan.
Yeah.
Now he's left me alone and never said a word to me in 8 years.
Which is what's perfect for you.
Right?
You don't
like,
need any of that stuff.
Which I like.
Right.
Well, I don't know what the deal is, but I can't hear myself. Okay. So anyway, I don't have a problem with the guy. I just don't,
sure.
I don't hang out with these dorks, okay? Okay, I'm too cool.
You're way past that part of your career where you're listening to anybody.
Listen, I respect him.
Right.
And I even respect Eric. I just don't, I'm too
not
cool.
Your thing.
Dude,
right.
I am so cool.
I mean, you've been doing this for now for, what,
forever.
30? Yeah, 30.
For longer than everyone.
Yeah, right,
okay,
right.
So for a nationally syndicated radio, I'm 25 years in a row.
Yeah.
Thanks for all your advice on programming and sports talk. Listen, You're an entertainer. I'm an entertainer. Right. Stop with the play the hits and talk about the top story of the day and go to the update. Do you know how many people listen to updates now in radio?
No, it never
happens. How about no
one? Nobody. Yeah.
You know what people do? They use their phones like it's crack.
Right. Well, that's what sort of we do now. We just have the 1 hour. It's Jerry comes in. He plays the cuts and, you know, has right. It's just it's one. Well, yeah, that's you got still
oh
the same stuff.
Oh, my God. It drives me. And they put anyone in with me. Last week, a poodle did it with me. Like they put a poodle in with me to do the updates. Am I wrong, Mafia? Make it tell the truth. Because Berman's there 4 days a week, and then the fifth day I get a different guy every day. No offense to anyone.
Right.
Like I got Greg. Then I've had Greg 75 times. I've had Schwartz. I've had them all 50, 60, 70. Darwin, Zook. Don't call me Ron. I've had them all. But I just leave me alone. Do I not know how to do this now after 30 years?
No, of course I'm
I mean,
with
honestly.
You. Man. I'm
so
with
tell
you.
Me about your. How much time do I got, Mafia?
All right. In this segment about. Okay. Less than 2 minutes.
So, but I got, but
negative 2 minutes.
But I got him. I got him for the hour, right?
As long as he's willing to show, of course.
Because I have a lot I want to discuss with you.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna break now, and then we'll come back. And I want to get into a lot of stuff with you. I want to get into your Pittsburgh days.
Okay. Yep.
I want to get into your transition to stardom.
Okay. That's happened already.
Well, I mean, from let's face it, from Nowhereville to Morning Drive on the Fan with Boomer is stardom.
Okay.
Where I come from.
Yeah.
Because I like you. I'm a fan of yours. I've harassed you on the street.
Oh yeah, that's right. After a softball game.
So
yeah, that's right.
I believe in you. I really don't like anyone else there. I like Boomer.
Yeah.
And is there anyone else I like? No.
Joe and Evan? Don't like Joe and Evan?
Listen, I like Joe a lot.
Right.
I've worked with him in TV, and I've worked with him in radio for forever.
Right.
I like him a lot, but I don't have anything to do with him. Like, do you understand? Like, I never see
the
guy. I haven't seen Joe in seven, 8 years.
You see anybody.
10
right?
years.
You see anybody.
Bro, I work with hookers and rats late at night where I want to be.
Darwin
do you understand?
Zook.
I want to be there.
Right.
I don't want to be near these people.
Right. No.
Ever.
I know.
I tell them to, you know. I'm right in their face. I tell them what they can do with their day. I don't listen to anyone. So leave me alone, and we'll all get along just fine.
Right, right.
And that's what they – I think they – at the very least, I would say there's some semblance of truth to that they understand that now.
Right, right.
Because when I used to have to deal with Turn Off every day and scream and yell at me, I scream and yell back.
There's nothing
worse. It's not going to work.
Right, no.
He hated my guts. He wanted me fired so many times. When I left for the Thrasher job, he probably had sex. I mean, he was probably the greatest day of his life when I left. They got rid of me because neither Hollander or Turn Off wanted me there ever. They didn't want me when I came back. They didn't want me when I came back because the suits above them are the ones that put me on here. Neither one of them wanted me. They took me out to lunch. A guy said to me, I'm not buying your stick. And I said, I'm here to please. Sure you are. I'm like, pass the sauce. Honestly, because I'd like, they just think I'm this lying heathen, drug addict, alcoholic, wife beater. I don't know what they think I am, but I'm
you're a wife beater,
dude.
I'm a
nerdy dad. I got a mortgage and two kids and a dog. I play basketball seven
you're
days
crack,
a week.
Crackhead, wife beating.
But I'm dropping 30 a game. Yeah, I'm a crackhead. Thanks. All right, we'll come back and talk to Greg Giannotti of the Fan. I got a lot to talk about and his career. He's a really funny guy. If you've never seen him on CBS Sports Network, he's on TV now, too. He wears makeup, no underwear, but he does wear makeup. And it's Pharrell on the Bench from Vegas.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Carver High and Matt Hatter running it back in New York. Mafia's here with me. I'm Pharrell. Greg Giannotti's with us. And you brought your boy out here to go to the fights.
Right, yeah. No, it's a childhood friend, man. Belport High School, class of 1999.
Is he a fan of the show? He listens to the show regularly?
Yeah, he does. He's not even – he's a boxing guy. He likes boxing. He's not even a big sports fan. But he listens to the show every day because it's me. That's a loyal friend.
That's a loyal friend.
Know? It's a loyal friend.
So do you think you guys – like, does he want to get a prostitute or anything tonight?
No, I don't think so.
No?
He just got married.
Oh, all right. So sorry about that.
He just got married.
So he needs some blow? All right. I can do that. We can do that. Right, so tell me about Greg Giannotti with us from The Fan. Tell me about, Pittsburgh and your – because, I'm from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I love Pittsburgh. I think it's a great city. It's the gloomiest place on earth that I'd
like
to –
more cloudy days there than in Seattle.
I like living there more than anywhere else. I loved it.
No, I loved it, too. I met my wife there. I mean, she's now on Long Island with me. But that 5 years that I had there was tremendous.
Does she miss Pittsburgh?
She does. And her mom's out here, too. So my mother-in-law's living.
Does she hate the Islanders like I do?
No, she really didn't. She loves the Steelers.
She didn't like the Penguins?
A little bit. You know how Pittsburghers
are. What's wrong
right?
with her?
Well, I mean, Pittsburghers, whatever like the cool thing is, they'll jump on it. So when the Penguins were winning, she was always
there
watching
the game. Do you like
the
Penguins?
I mean, I did when I was there. You know, it's.
But now you've gone southbound on me. What are you rooting for, the Rangers now?
Yeah, well, no. I
you like the Islanders?
Yeah, it's
oh,
more.
Oh God,
it's
more Carver High. You and him should be lovers.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just it's one of these things that out there, you have to become fully immersed
right.
in everything. And there's people still tweet me today from Pittsburgh that say, "Are you still a Penguins fan?" I was like,
Why did you choose Long Island? Like, what was the deal there? Like, because. Did you grow? Oh, you went to high school there,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
just worked in Pittsburgh. So you just went home.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
But no, how long were you at the fan in Pittsburgh?
5 years. I was actually the 10-year anniversary is coming up on February 15th, and I'm going back out there for it for a big party because it meant a lot to me.
How funny is it that those studios are nicer than the ones we work in? How funny is it that Pittsburgh is nicer than New York? I mean, honestly, let's talk about the rat-infested building we work in.
Yeah, it's not. Listen, it's nice because you got a parking space and it's clean up there. Foster Plaza,
right?
Pittsburgh,
it's really nice.
Green tree, but it's not as.
How long
nice
did it take you to get to work? 10 minutes.
Yeah, I lived in Mount Lebanon.
So did I.
Yeah, 5 minutes actually. It took
so
me like
where did you live
minutes.
In Mount Lebanon? I lived on Parker Drive.
Get the hell out of here!
I did. I lived on the little private lane that runs off of Parker Drive, right at the corner of Cochran and Parker, that little private lane that goes back to all those mansions down in there. That's where I grew up as a kid.
Yeah, I think it was 280 Parker Drive was the address.
I lived on Morrison Drive. Front of my house was Morrison. The back of my house was Parker.
You know, like the Battos down there?
So the private drive down there, right. I slept with every girl on that street.
Really?
Do you know who one of them's, I'm not going to say I slept with her, but I dated.
Yeah.
Let's just say I dated. Steigerwald's daughter.
Oh, no.
John.
John Steigerwald.
Yeah, and I'm good friends with Paul.
Right.
So, like, I was hot for her, and I was, like, jumping out of their windows at night, and he was chasing me with a baseball bat when I was a kid.
Well, John's a nut, man. Like, some of the stuff that
he's
he
great.
Writes, like, I mean, he's very – he gets everybody talking. But
he's
like,
great.
I mean, some of his headlines in these stories, like, oh, my God.
He was a great writer when I was there. And then when I was there as a kid growing up, like, Myron Cope was a legend.
Of course.
Not only as a Steeler broadcaster, but he had a great talk show.
Yeah.
Every afternoon.
What everybody said. You know, Stan Saverin, Myron Cope.
Right.
When I got there, everybody would bring these names up. And, I mean, that's what I loved about it is there's so many guys there, like Bob Pompiani.
I love
him. Guy's been there forever.
Real nice guy. You know who one of my best friends is? So I moved across the street over on Cochran to Colony Circle, which was over on the other, you know, on the other side
sure.
of Parker is the rich neighborhood.
Right. It's, what the hell is it called?
I forget what it's called now.
Something Estates.
You might remember.
Yeah,
but anyway, so my dad ran, like, U.S. Steel, so I lived in a mansion. And so this house over on Colony was huge, and my next-door neighbor was Albie.
Oh, get out of here.
So
Albie Oxenrider.
Albie
yeah.
Oxenrider and
yeah.
I became really good friends.
Yeah, I love Pittsburgh.
I'm still
man.
Friends with him. When I go back there, I go to Atria's to eat every time, and I call up Albie, and we hook up.
Now, you heard the story about that Kevin Benson out there?
I don't know who that is.
He's a weatherman who's been there for 40 years.
Right, no, I don't know him.
All right, I'll tell you.
What happened?
He pulled over. It's a great story.
Was he hammered?
Yeah, he was hammered.
Good for him.
Yeah, hammered.
Good for him.
Yeah, cocaine.
Well, that's awesome.
Belligerent.
Well, who doesn't have that when they're...
Yeah, no, but 40 years on TV, yeah.
That's crazy. But who's worse, Errol Spence driving 105 in a Ferrari flipping over drunk or him?
I know, terrible. I mean, both are terrible.
I don't even know that about that. So you worked in Pittsburgh, and then you moved... back to New York.
Yeah.
You were working on CBS Sports Radio.
Right, yeah. So I five
what was
years,
that deal?
So I did 4.5 in morning drive, and the other 6 months was at night when I first got there. And then I wanted to get back desperately to New York, and everybody's telling me, don't do it. Don't leave local radio to go to CBS Sports Radio. And I said, that's what I want to do. I want to live in New York, and I want to be in New York just in case anything happens at WFAN, never thinking that it would work out the way that it
right.
did, but rather maybe afternoon drive. And then I did 3 years with Brian Jones there on CBS Sports Radio, which was awesome. I love that guy to death. So
I think he's great.
I had a blast. And we did so much stuff, like, you know, like...
So what happened?
You're liberated.
So at first, was it Moore and Jones?
Yeah, they did nights. Yeah.
And then you did, then you worked with them.
Right,
so
exactly.
they went from Moore and Jones. What did they call that show?
Mojo.
Mojo, and then it became Gio and Jones?
That's right, yeah.
And then you went to work on The Fan.
Right.
So let me ask you, when everyone knows what happened,
yeah.
and your boy ends up going to jail,
yeah.
And they come to you and say, we want you to replace him, did you cable in your pants?
Yeah, well, it was a long process. So I'll tell you a story not a lot of people know.
All right,
so this is actually the first time I've ever said this on the air. I'm giving you this one.
Good.
All right, so there was a point where Boomer didn't know what he wanted to do. So I did a bunch of audition shows
right.
with Boomer, and he couldn't make up his mind.
Right.
And Chernoff got to the point.
So they let him, like, decide.
Well, it was they. So Chernoff and Oliveira wanted me. but they also didn't want to force someone on Boomer that they didn't want.
Right.
Right? So Boomer said, I like him, but I don't want to have a shotgun marriage type of thing. So it got to the point where he couldn't make a decision, and Oliveira wanted to move me over to WFAN, and everybody was, like, turning down afternoons over there. So Oliveira said to me, you know, I think I'm going to put you in afternoons after all these audition shows with Boomer. And I said, I wanted to do mornings with Boomer. This is what I want. So he said, yeah, I know, but we're just going to do, like, Boomer and Friends for a while, and I think we'll be okay. And it's going to be you, Chris Carlin, and Bart Scott.
Right.
So I said, oh, man. It's like, I don't know. This is going to be a weird one for me. I'm not sure, but it's WFAN. It's afternoons. Like, I'll figure it out.
You got to figure it out.
I'll figure it out, right? So they said, but we haven't told Boomer yet that this is what we're going to do. Maybe if we tell him, he'll say, no, I want Greg, put him in mornings.
Right.
So the morning that they were going to tell Boomer that they were going to put me in afternoons, he got to me before he even heard from them.
He didn't even know.
He didn't know. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is. He finishes up his CBS Sportsman and goes, here, come back to my office. And he goes, let's go. Let's get a deal done. You're in. So I'm like, you kidding me? This is great. They must have talked to him, and now he changed his mind. He's ready to go. But he didn't know. So Chernoff walks around the corner. It's me, Boomer, and Chernoff.
What are you doing in Boomer's office?
Right. So he goes, so it's great. So he goes, I just told him, get the deal done. He's going to be my new partner. And Chernoff goes, are you sure? And he goes, yeah, I'm sure. Because you weren't sure. So he's like, no, I'm sure we're going to do this. So I'm thinking that whole morning doing Gio and Jones that I'm doing mornings with Boomer. I'm texting my wife. Right, I'm texting my friends. I'm like, this is great. So then after the show, 9 o'clock, Boomer's on until 10. I go back there. I said, well, that's it. I'm doing mornings. That's what you wanted. That's what I wanted. And Chernoff goes, well, he goes, Oliveira still wants you to do afternoons. I'm like, oh, my God. So he said, we're going to talk.
This is crazy.
He goes, we're going to talk to Boomer after the show and see what he thinks. So I said, all right, fine. So Boomer at 10 o'clock, Chernoff, Oliveira, Boomer in an office for an hour with the door closed.
Right.
I'm waiting in the newsroom.
Jesus.
My whole future is being determined in this room.
Right.
Boomer comes out with a thumbs up to me, and then at that point I knew that it was
good. Done.
And then I went in there.
So what did you do?
There's one more piece of this. So I go in there, Chernoff, Oliveira, and me, and then and Oliveira was not happy because he wanted, the other thing. And then Chernoff says, well, all right, well, I'm going to call her then. And I turn around and he's got Maggie Gray's number up on his Outlook. And that's how that happened. Right there in the office, right then.
Wow. So he actually, for the first time ever, got, basically Boomer got it, overruled him. Because one day he said to me, he said, those guys didn't want me to work there.
Yeah.
And, he told me we went to
dinner. Because you're a crackhead. That's why. You sell crack. You're a crack
dealer.
We all know you're a crack dealer.
There's something wrong with you. So he says to me, he takes me to dinner at this great restaurant in the village. And we're having dinner, and he said to me, it's the first time in my entire career I had to use my boss card to get someone, a job.
Wow.
That he had to overrule these two clowns to give me the job. They didn't want me.
Wow.
They wanted nothing. They'll never admit it because they're liars.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, that's what happened. He goes, I told them, you're working here,
wow,
whether you like it or not.
Wow.
That's what he told me to my face. So you can believe whatever those people tell you, or you can believe what I tell you. And I'm a lot cooler than them.
Yeah.
I respect him greatly. That's fine. He can believe that whether he wants to or not, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll come back. I want to talk to Greg about some sports. I want him to do some of his funny voices, and I want to see what he thinks of the fight. And it's Pharrell on the Bench.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, it's more important than oxygen and water. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Killer picks for cheap with amazing results. Chicks dig me. Fans love it. It has it all. Football, college, pro, hoops, hockey, boxing, MMA, you name it. PharrellOnTheBench.com delivers. 73% last week in the NFL with my picks documented. My sixth week out of 11 in the 70s. College football for the season, 67% winners, thousands of games, 64% last week. This week, raking in college basketball and NBA and NHL. What was it, Wednesday night or Thursday night? It was 11-2. Was that Tuesday night?
Tuesday
night, 11-2. So sorry, I got those two wrong, games wrong for you there, fat ass. Greg Giannotti's with us. Oh, by the way, hide the money from your wife because she'll steal it and buy a Fendi bag with your profits. So you get the gig in Morning Drive on the Fan.
Right.
And now the next thing they say to you, we're going to put you on TV every day. And, like, how has your life changed for the better with this tremendous opportunity? Because I'm a fan, and I think you're great at what you do. And you have to be excited. And Like, what has changed in your life from doing, like, radio in Pittsburgh or doing CBS Sports Radio to being on FAN? Because I was on the Fan for a long time. I know what it's like.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the whole local radio community thing. Because, like, 3 years of CBS Sports Radio was impossible to explain to people in New York that I'm living in New York.
No,
I'm working in New
you.
York, but you can't hear me. So all of that.
It's so embarrassing.
Right. I mean, that was a tough thing. But I ended up losing 50 pounds because I got the gig and I was just huge. And I'm looking at myself on TV and I got healthy. There and I also had we had our daughter
so
right after I got
to get
the
healthy
job.
Like because I did all that too. I'm old and fat. I'm an old guy. So what happens is when you get 50 and over, you just get fat.
Right.
You never lose weight. Losing weight when you're over 50 is almost
been
impossible.
No man. Even in, like,
I've always been a basketball
thin.
Player.
Right.
And I'm in great shape. I play 7 days a week. But I had to stop eating junk food. I stopped drinking soda. I stopped drinking creamer and coffee. I stopped eating pasta and bread.
Sure. Right.
And I just ate fish, chicken, and salads. And I ate like Atkins bars and stuff.
Right.
Instead of junk food, I'd eat protein bars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I just ate. I ate three good meals instead of eating one huge meal or eating junk food all weekend. On Saturdays and Sundays, I'm like a fiend. I can eat 50 bags of popcorn and have 17 pints of sorbet.
Yeah, I'm an eater. There you go.
And then when I drank like a fish. And so when you drink, you get fat.
Right, right. Absolutely. So that's what I did. I did a paleo diet. I mean, I had my daughter and I was on TV every day. And I said, this is ridiculous.
So
I got to get healthy.
Was your wife or someone telling you you were fat?
No, it was me. Listen, I have self-awareness. I know what I'm doing well.
None of your
I know
friends, your mother never told you you're fat or anything?
No, I mean, I knew. It was one of those things, like, maybe there'd be a joke here or there.
Because you
but
look great now.
Yeah,
you have to be proud of yourself.
He used to make fun of me. My friend Nelson was sitting next to me. He used to make fun of me because I get gout all the time.
Really? My mom had gout.
Oh, it's terrible.
You get swollen toes?
Oh, yeah, toes. I had it in my my elbow once. I actually went to a fight. What fight did we go to at the Barclays? We went to Porter Garcia.
Right. Danny Garcia.
Yeah, I think Porter Garcia.
I was there.
At the Barclays.
And you were limping?
And no. I had a gout in my elbow looking like a butler because I couldn't move my arm.
So what? So how did you get rid of it? How did you get healthy?
Paleo diet.
What is paleo diet? Is that like eating beans?
Yeah, it's like sort of like everything like from the earth that was like.
Oh, like so plant-based diet.
Yeah, but there's chicken and a lot of protein and stuff
and
like
that
too.
Did you have to stay on it?
Yeah, for a long time.
Are you still eating right?
I'd say 70% of the time I eat.
How bad is it for you like on a Saturday and a Sunday when you don't have to work and you're sitting there in front of the, like I can go to the kitchen 1,000 times. I'm dangerous.
Well, my wife and I with food. We're like a drug couple. Like, you ever see, like, they follow around, like, that show, like, Addiction or Rehab? And, like, the drug couples get together, and then all of a sudden, they're trying to be clean. They look around. Next thing you know, they got tinfoil in their plate and stuff. Like, that's the way we are. Like, what should we do? And next thing you know, it's like, you know, French fries in our face and Philly cheesesteaks and everything. So when we're good together, it's
great. So
you're
like a team.
Yeah, exactly.
Why does she have, like, if she doesn't take care of herself, she'll blow up, too?
Well, yeah, that's
what happens.
Yeah, well, that's what happened when she was pregnant. Is it got really bad?
Right, of course. They get fat. They get swollen ankles.
And I just got pregnant with her.
Don't come near me. I'll kill you. I'll cut off your package. I will eat your children. Don't even look at me ever.
And it was the worst.
So mine smokes. And I'm like, listen, you really need to quit smoking.
Mind your own business. I will poison your dinner with lysine. I will give you cyanide. You loud mouth.
And they're believable, too.
Right.
That's
great.
The thing.
Crazy.
Like you're going to die. You feel like you're going to die.
So, and now you're on TV. Like, what's it like now?
Oh,
like,
it's great. I mean, it's awesome, man. Like, because you know what it's like. Like, you can't always see your audience, right? So we did a show from the Blue Point Brewery, which is like 3 miles from my house on Friday, October 4th, which is the first Yankee playoff game. And like 1,000 people showed up at 5 o'clock in the morning, lined up outside, you know, to watch us. And it was just, and I think that might have been the first time there might have been more people there for me than for Boomer because they're all my people, South Shore Long Island people. So stuff like that, you know, I stayed afterwards, the pictures and everything. Right. I mean, it just,
I
don't take any of it for granted, too.
Right. Like, so I did that. Like when I used to come to New York, because I did the show in LA, you understand? Yeah. I did it from Culver City in Westwood.
I've heard you tell stories about Chernoff Corner where you're laying in a pool out in LA. And you're just like, screw you, jerk.
Like, I used to do remotes, like, and 1,000 people deep in a place, and there was just all kinds of felonies happening. I mean, there was literally, I went in, I did a remote once in New York in a bar. It was on the east side, and I'll never forget because I walked in, and I'm doing the gig, and like, in the middle of the gig, I'm soaking wet, I'm just freaking out, I'm just lit, I'm drunk, everything else. And I walked in the bathroom to go to the bathroom, and some guy was having sex with some chick on the sink, and I'm like, dude,
get
what is happening
here?
What is happening here?
Those are your people, though, man.
That was what it was like.
Right.
And he wanted no part of me. Like, he thought I was the devil, Chernoff.
Chernoff.
He wouldn't even go near me.
I thought you were talking about the guy who was having sex on the
sink. So, he French kissed me, and then I ran for my life. So, tell me, do some of your voices. Now, I know this puts you in a bad predicament, but the thing is that everyone brags about how great you are doing them, and I go to bed at 4 in the morning, dude.
Yeah.
I sleep from 4 to 8. I don't listen because I just know you're great and know you're funny because I see the clips on social media.
Sure.
That's the only exposure I get to it. You know I love Boomer and you, and I used to do the show with him and Craig. I'd come on once in a while.
Right.
Or they use clips of me and funny stuff I do. But I want to hear some of these.
Well, I mean, I think that
your top five.
The problem is that a lot of these top five are all WFAN personalities. So it might be funny to you and some New Yorkers, but then a lot of these people, they don't know. So
who cares about other people, what they think?
It's your audience. I want to make sure your audience is happy.
We don't
right?
care what they think. They're drinking right now and smoking weed. It doesn't matter. Just tell me, do this.
All right. Francesa. Francesa, we're here. All right.
Pharrell, just will you calm down for a second? Okay. Will you calm down? Just shut up.
Hey, just shut up.
All right. You know, this Wilder, you know, he's a champion, big puncher, but, you know, I'm 66. Okay. And I'm 6. I could get in there for a couple rounds of him. I could come for us.
What is wrong with
him? I could do it. I could do it. I'm telling you, I'd love the opportunity. Okay? I'd love the opportunity to go with him. Guy's cocky. Okay? He's a clown.
What does he think of you doing that? Does he drive him nuts?
Oh, he hates it. Text Chernoff all the time.
He hates me dead.
Well, he hates all of us.
He hates me dead.
He hates everybody.
But he hates me more than you.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing. If you're hated by him, that means you're good. Because the people that he likes are non-threatening to him.
Right.
That when if,
you know, he threatened
I said
to
that,
quit the fan because they hired me.
Oh, I'm sure.
Him and Russo. Russo admits it to this day to me.
Do you like Dog, though?
I get along with him. When he went to Sirius, I got along with him because he was very cool to me and respectful of me and basically apologized for the way they treated me.
How much time do we have? I got a great
I just story. Have 2 minutes. Go ahead.
I was going to give you a great Dog gambling story.
Just but give I, me do his can you imitate
all
him?
Right, so we used to bet runs, hits, and errors when I was a Joe and Evan producer.
Right.
He'd come out the total runs, hits, and errors of the day games, and he got me involved. He'd go, all right, here we go. Who's in? Who's in the family? Who's in the family? Are you in? Are you in? I'm making $26,000 a year producing Joe and Evan. He's like, all right, you gotta get in, Greg. Come on, let's go. Are you in or out? I said, listen, I'm broke. I'm not in. He's like, oh, he's not a part of the family. So I said, all right, fine. I said, fine. $50. He's like, No. $250 or more. So I said, all right, fine. I'm $250. He said, all right, let's go. So then, bang, loss. It gets to the point I'm down $1,100 to Dog's bookie as Joe and Evan's producer making $26,000 a year. And I came in with a check one day. I was like, I'm just going to write him a check. I'm going to hand it to him. I'm going to be done with this. So then their producer at the time, Mike and the producer at the time, when I walk in, they stop me. And they go, no, don't pay him. So why? Because his bookie just got shut down by the cops.
Oh, that's good. You're in the clear.
All right. So then he leaves for Sirius. $15 million is in the papers, right? 6 months later, I get a phone call. The news.
You owe me money.
He goes, hey, listen, I lost a big, bad week at a college football. You got $1,100 on a run, sits, and errors. Whatever you can send me, I'll take.
Jesus. Hey, Greg, you're awesome. Congratulations on all your success. Keep rocking it. Keep doing your thing. Stay healthy. Continued rocking and rolling on the Fan of CBS Sports Network. It's great having you on the bench.
Yeah, my pleasure, man.
I'll
Thanks.
See you tomorrow night at the fight, you guys. We're sitting together.
That's going to be
We're
awesome.
We're sitting
Thank
ringside.
You.
We're going to grab the rope, and I'm going to pick up hookers. Greg Giannotti from WFAN in New York. This is Pharrell on the Bench. We're live at the MGM in Sin City for Wilder Ortiz 2. Check out.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.